So Gurudev from Brahmanpur, which is Brahmanpur. Brahmanpur is a short name for word Brahmanpur, and that's a very ancient place where so many Brahmins came up. So being a son of a Brahmana, being a son of a Guru, knowing so many Vaishnava songs and cultures since his childhood, he, you know, pretty much had an idea what a guru is, what an ashram is. But when he saw Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, he was really shocked, because that wasn't ashram he would expect. That was something in a very developing stage. So it was like a hut. But you can sit here, because there are, that part can sit there. Народ, очень трудно разговаривать с колонной, зная, что за ней прячется 20 человек. Ну просто так не я говорю с колонной, с деревом Тулуси. Окей. Okay. It's okay if somebody hiding. That's good. So Srila Gurudev thought, well, I'm coming to ashram to some man who has numerous wisdom, and I feel it's in my heart, that's what it is. But when he joined Math, he saw, well, you know, it's a very humble hut. It's not even Math, just like we're now moving to the new land, just imagine if wouldn't be any buildings there, anything, just like a forest. He would say, it's a kind of nice place, but you know, where I'm going to live, where I'm going to stay. So Guru Maharaj lived in a very simple hut, and the bamboo pole with the flag. And then some brahmachari sees Srila Govinda Maharaj very, not disappointed, but bewildered, you know, where I'm coming. He's telling, well, you know, inside a very big sadhu, Math may be small at this point, but at that time, Srimad Chaitanya Saraswat, a great poetry of Srimad Chaitanya Saraswat, was composed by Srila Guru Maharaj. But still, he's in the hut with bamboo pole, and he's admitting first very few disciples. So Gurudev coming to him, and he see beautiful golden boy, very smiling, very charming. And he asking, who are you? And he said, I'm Gaurendu, you know, Gobinda, his name is Dharma. Gaurendu came in initiation, so he was that time Dharma. So anyway, he see this boy is very beautiful, and they start exchange, and Gurudev felt some heart-to-heart connections with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. But then Srila Sridhar Maharaj understand by talking to him that this boy knows too much. See, it's an offense to know too little, it's an offense to know too much. Because once you know too much, it says actually in the scripture, once you started reading too many books, you may lose faith. If you don't get enough knowledge, you also may lose your faith. So you have to have just enough knowledge to get you going in a spiritual plane. Rupa Goswami said, not too much renounce, not too much. Like just a Buddhist story, the story about bow or musical instrument. He said, if you tie it too much, it will break. If you keep losing, it's not going to play. So it's a very important where the body should know he must be at a very service type of shape. He can't have too much austerity, because, you know, some people thinking, oh, Krishna consciousness, you should do a lot of austerity, fastings and things. That's not an idea. Like people doing ISKCON, you know, you lie down in your room and you fast. But that wasn't the program of our gurus. So he said to him, it seems like you know so much information about Krishna consciousness, and you must be from guru family, then at that time pure Vaishnavism was very rare. So Guru Maharaj, understanding that Gurudev exposed to great things, but he also exposed to the wrong side of the things. And, you know, particularly to children, we say you can't smoke until you're like 16, you can't drink, or you can't this, that, until you reach age. So it's a warning for children not to get involved with what the adults do, because they don't have proper consciousness. So you know, Guru Maharaj seeing that it can go a wrong way, it's always can go right way and wrong way, he said, really, if you want to stay here with me, you should follow two things. Two things I want from you. Number one, you forget everything you've learned before. And Gurudev said, yes. He said, never listen to my mind, listen what I will say. Gurudev said, yes. And that was very difficult. But then later Gurudev said, I was very young and it was very stupid, so I gave too many promises. But finally, those promises, the Guru Bhakti saved me. But, you know, we can also find in the scripture, sometimes you can go against will of Guru. It's as suicidal, but that's what Yamuna Acharya did. When he got initiated, he was already Vaishnava, but he heard as a very great, you know, devotee and great Swami, great spiritual master. And he approached the spiritual master, but the spiritual master said, I can't initiate you immediately. Because I'm not giving initiation to those who are not in proper understanding. I have to see you for 1 year. If you are what you are, then I give you a spiritual connection with my line. So that's called Vaidika Diksha. Vaidika Diksha means it's all by rules, regulations, by the Vedas, qualified student, qualified teacher. But we also know there's a tantric addiction. Tantra is Tanushya Trayate. When something gets converted, it's almost like the mystical thing when they say, in connection with, как ртут по-английски? No, it's not quicksilver. Yes. Yes, but anyway, there is that very dangerous, what's in thermometers, that very dangerous metal. Yes, the mercury. So, you know, mercury is a very mystical, it has some connection with Lord Shiva. It's a very mystical metal. At proper alchemical process, mercury with connection with like other metals can make them gold. You know, mercury, ртуть может делать золото. So mercury can produce gold. But, you know, there's a special conditions. So, you know, at certain point, the mercury can produce gold, and at a certain point, mercury is the worst poison you can ever have. So many alchemists, they would use the mercury as a medicine, and also still is an Indian medicine. And Chinese Empire also used mercury, you know that. In Chinese world, mercury would be a mystical metal which gives you so much power. So, but the point is not alchemics, the point is that the proper usage of a substance, if poison can become a medicine can become a poison. So Yamuna Acharya went and studied under a great pandit, and that was Vaidic initiation. So at 1 year, showing how great he is in Sanskrit and scriptures, and he's a super advanced soul. Then also he knew how to follow Guru. He showed total loyalty, total self-sacrifice, self-giving. Guruji decided, I'm giving you the mantra. I'm giving you Diksha Upanayana. So, you know, Diksha, the Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya is like, we're getting initiation one way, but other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're getting another way. For instance, in like other Sampradaya, they take Tapa Samskar, they light up conch shell and fire, put in your body marks of Vishnu. That's called Tapa Samskar. They also do in Thailand, monks. They do all the tattoos and things as a part of protection initiation. So something keeps you remember. Samskar means to keep you remember. So it makes you remember who you are. But you know, it would be very fashionable amongst Western people. They all would make tattoos with tilakas, you know, lions, and but in Gaudiya Sampradaya, that's taken on a different level. It's heart-to-heart transaction. It's something more deeper than just the physical self. Soul need to be connected. So he's receiving mystical initiation, his master, and pretty much like knows that you can't speak the mantra. The master said, you can't tell this mantra to anyone. This would be offense. So Yamunacharya receiving this initiation, but he's coming to the marketplace after initiation, starts screaming, people, please all get together, come. And you know, of course, people in the market, different types, the thieves there, the rogues, the bums, you know, the merchants, the common people who's buying things. So they all assemble around him, and he said, I spent 1 year serving my guru so hard, and I received the most precious mantra. Now I will give it to you for nothing. Listen. When he chanted Om Namo Narayana. You know, it's an interesting thing. When you go to South India, I traveled in South India extensively. Some places like Guruvayur, you never see in Bengal or, you know, maybe in Jagannath Mandir you'll see sometimes, but you never see 10,000 people staying in the line of a temple. But in South India, Guruvayur, that's a common thing. Whole city is a temple and 10,000 people staying, it's a big shade. And there's like mantra, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo, like the whole city vibrates. Om Namo, because everywhere loud speakers. And that mantra is going on. And like, it's so mystical place. You know, one of my friends from there, I hook him up, right? But he actually, his family used to be proprietors of the whole temple and kings of this area. Many, many thousands of years. But, so he's spoken this mantra, and when Guru heard, he said, well, you will go for hell. He said, yes, I know, but I'm trying to give this mantra to those who's not qualified. And if I'm going to hell for giving them at least slight benefit, that's a good reason to go to hell. See, in a Vaishnava way, Vaishnava never think, oh, you know, I'm afraid to go to hell. Actually, real Vaishnava think I'm going to hell, but, you know, I want to go to hell for good reason. If I can preach there, I can do some seva, then it's okay. Hell is okay, because hell keeps me remember about Lord. See, we always remember that circumstance, that's what makes our characters. You know, we characters rely on circumstance. That's what the drama teachers say. You must go through circumstance. And whatever will not kill you will make you stronger. So, you know, one Vaishnava sage finally went to the hell. And he sees some very ugly place, you know, very bad people, faces. And he saw some asuras, the hell inhabitants. And he sees the very, like, ugly creatures, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, like orcs looking like, And he started like chant, Hare Krishna, or, you know, Namo Narayana. And they said, you know, what are you talking? Like, there's no God, there's no Narayana. Like, you know, if there be God, why are you here? I said, no, you don't understand. The only reason I'm here because it is the God. God's grace, it's also grace on you. So he started preaching to those guys, and finally they got converted, and they're like, Hare Krishna. You see a whole bunch of guys with like horns, and you know, he's like teaching them the songs and dance, and they're very happy. They've got some, you know, relief, some hope. Maybe they're in this very bad condition, but, you know, going towards perfection, that's the way. So, when Gurudev heard from Srila Guru Maharaj, he was like very much thinking, oh, you know, Forget everything I know, but I know so many good things. How I should not follow my mind? I got pretty sharp mind. What is it like? There's one story. One guru said to disciple, they're going by, cart, and some books are dropped. And disciple like, and after 1 mile, guru said like, oh, where is the books? He said, they're dropped. Why? You didn't tell me to pick it up. You told me like, only listen, guru. And so, you're not telling me. I'm thinking it's okay. Guru said, oh, you stupid, come back. Because the disciple think, I always have to follow every word of my guru. So if something dropped from the back, my guru didn't tell. Then finally, the coin keep going by the bullock cart and guru drop. And the disciple thinking, he didn't tell me to pick him up. He just keep going. So Gurudev thought, he knew many stories like this. He was thinking, when I should surrender and when I should use my brain. Like maybe my guru don't know how to make tea. But I know how to make tea. I can make him a nice cup of tea. Then I can use brain. So everything's according to expertise. See, our position is like this. We're learning from our devotees and we're learning from our teachers. And interestingly, Gurudev said, interestingly, there's one sloka. You should learn from guru only what is good. We say, guru can give bad examples. Just like almost father and mother, father, he can teach children, be very nice, be very patient, be very nice, be very patient. But when father see mother, she's very late, she cannot put things together, she cannot cook, mother like, come on, and children say should we also learn that? So it says in scriptures, you should learn very good things, and not to see things which you not accept beneficial. So it's an interesting point talking about guru. Narada, who's a great sage who can travel through space, he guru Vedavyas. And Vedavyas written all the scriptures, all the books. All knowledge you gather together. But Narada chastised him. Just imagine, you're doing so much service, you're putting all the world knowledge together, in one internet big file. And here's your guru coming, looking at what you've done. And it's like, you think it's like a miracle. You say, I'm chastising you. You say, why? He said, because you haven't shown what's the most important. That's also happened sometimes. So Vyas chastised Narada. There's Ahamviti, Shukaviti, Vyasaviti, Navetivatsa, Shiva's famous sloka. I know Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami knows Srimad Bhagavatam, but whoever wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyas, he may know, he may not know. And you say, how possible? Vedavyas, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. He not know what he wrote. And Gurudev's pranam mantra was Chintya Achintya Veda Nipunam. Conceivable, inconceivable. Everything known. So, conceivable and inconceivable. That's the two things we always have to deal, because in an absolute way, there'll be always things absolute. We will never be able to grasp all divinity in our mind. Even in our heart, all the jiva is ultimate part of infinite. It's a very small part of infinite. So there's a very great story about, one Brahman going to Vishnu Narayana. No, not Brahman, Narada. Narada is meeting one Brahman who practices. And he say, When you go to Vishnu, you please ask him how many more lives I have to take birth in the material world. And your guy, some Shudra, Vaishnava Shudra, who's like making some, you know, very menial work. And he said, then, you know, just for comparison, ask how much these guys would need to like take births in the material world. So this Brahman thinking, I'm already liberated soul, I'm such a great man, I have so much books, so much scriptures, and you know, like I'm probably already in the spiritual world, you know. But you know, this guy who's like very humble, he says Hare Krishna, but you know, he's doing shoes, you know, like all day long. That's not a serious. So Narada, he's flying to Vishnu and has some business with Vishnu, you know, report him things about demons and sages, and almost ready to go, but Vishnu asking, oh, my dear Narada, it seems like you forgot some things. Oh, what do I forget, Lord? Well, you forgot those questions of the devotee of mine, the Brahman. Oh, yes, yes, thanks for reminding me. By the way, you know, I didn't thought it's serious important, but you know, how long this Brahman is supposed to stay in the material world? Because he thinks he's already out. Vishnu, like, you know, he probably gonna need to take another 3,065,000 births. What? Well, let me calculate again. Maybe 3,060,000. Is that okay? Is that really? Is that so? What about that the shoemaker guy? Oh, this guy already is in Vaikuntha. He's like, I can't understand, my lord. I know your ways are mysterious, but you know, this Brahman is like a top guy who knows all the Siddhanta, who's like writing books, and like he's such a great person, and like he has to take so many births, and this Shudra, like, I understand he has some faith in you, but is that like, you say, well, and then, let me tell you why it's going to be like that. You see, I want to show you something, what I'm doing. He takes a needle and put elephant through the needle hole. And Narada sees with his own eyes, he's like shocked. He said, can you like show me once again? Vishnu said, of course. Take an elephant nose, put in a needle, like make an elephant coming through the needle. He said, the low part is the most complicated. You want to try? So Narada is like, oh my God, you know, I know you are the mystic power of everything, but you know, this kind of entertainment I never seen before. He said, the reason I'm showing you this stuff, it's actually nothing. It's actually, you know, to you as a Brahman, I don't have to show all these things. But when you talk to this guy in the world, tell him what I've been doing and see what his reaction. Then you understand. So he's coming back and the Brahman says, oh, great sage, you know, pranam. Have you seen Narayana? Oh, of course, because Narada is always chanting Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. He said, well, can you tell me how long I have to stay in this world? He said, I mean, I'm sorry, it's not such a bad time. You know, few lives. He said like five? He's kind of said, like, you know, multiply this few times. He said, like, what, 50? No, you don't understand. It's actually not 50, it's 60. 3,060,000, you know, thousands of lives are meant for you in this world. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not my proposition. If I'll be the God, I'll let you out, you know, today. But it's him. The guy was shocked, but then he said, well, what about this one? He said, we shouldn't worry about this one. He's already liberated. He said, I can't believe you. I don't think you actually the Narada, maybe you're another Narada. I don't even believe that you travel in the spiritual world. If you're telling this low type of guy already liberated and like next guy, next life is going to see Narayana, and like I am the like learned person with so many knowledge. I, you know, like I need to go for such a long way. I don't believe you. Well, tell me, what was Narayana doing? You know, we spoke a little bit of a business, a divine business, but then he showed me some things. He pulled up the needle and, you know, pulled up elephant and, you know, the back part was a little hard, but, you know, it went fine through. It was okay. And Brahma said, I know, you're cheating, my sage. You shouldn't be cheating, actually. It's not possible. He said, well, I mean, sorry, I just... You know, it's not here, it's Vaikuntha. He said, still not possible. And now Narada understood why this guy wasn't qualified to go back to spiritual world, because he was not faithful enough. He had Vaikuntha of his own mind. He believed in his own, you know, frame. He had a very square understanding. You know, he had some knowledge, but that wasn't realized knowledge. So this humble Vaishnava man who was, you know, once we talked with Goswami Maharaj, he said, well, about one devotee, he said, intuitive preacher, who hasn't read all the books. And I like that word, intuitive preacher, because that's a very good mark, actually. That was a very famous devotee, like, he, as a matter of fact, it was Kirtanananda, one of the ISKCON guru who passed away. But he was intuitive preacher, according to Srila Goswami Maharaj. Wasn't so much reading the Siddhanta, maybe did not know all the details or Sanskrit, but had pretty much way of, you know, he had great intuition, he felt what you need to tell at this person at this time. And that may not be the greatest stuff. So you have to understand, sometimes you don't have to tell the greatest stuff. Sometimes you just want to tell what his heart wants to hear. What's in your heart? Not everybody is at a very great level of realizing deep things. Somebody needs something very, very simple and important. And that's what Krishna said to Arjuna. See, Krishna said to Arjuna, well, you know, let me tell you about philosophy, my friend. No, that was not in the beginning. That was an end. The beginning part was that he convinced Arjuna that if he does not fight, he's not going to succeed in this world or the next one. And at this point, he has a very wrong perception, mundane perception. So Krishna said, how come such a great man like you follow very, you know, primitive, mundane perception? So as Guru Maharaj often would say, genius but wrong. Mundane perception could be genius. You know, Darwinian theory, the big string theory, the big explosion theory, that's actually a genius. Because it has some truth. You know, communism is a genius philosophy. It has some truth. Everything what's observed people's mind, it has some truth. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's a very interesting book he has, Tattva Viveka, called Identify the Truth. Learn how to identify truth. If you don't know how to identify Chinese tea, you'll get cheated. You know, so you say, well, like if you're Russian, you go to China, like, you know, if you go to a restaurant, what kind of tea would you like? Green or black? Black or green? You say, like, can I have puer, you know, raw puer? Like, what? You know, 5-year-old, 10-year-old from this province, from this tree. So it's a mundane of thinking, oh, I only know two tea, black and green. But if you go to China, you lose with this proposition, because whatever you think is black is actually red, and whatever you think is green, it may not be green at all. So just with the same, but you'll be convinced. See, the problem is, if you're from a place where there's like black or green, which is Western world, you'd be convinced you're like the greatest, you know, experienced person. Then you'll find millions of different flavors of tea. So when we will go to India, we'll see there are like numerous scriptures. As a matter of fact, Ganga floating, every drop is a scripture. So then you say, well, I can't believe, like, I can't believe how many holy people, I can't believe how many temples, I can't believe how many gurus, and, you know, I can't believe how many concepts. One worship Hanuman, another worship Ram, and the third one's Ma, you know, like everybody worships something and someone. And everybody, like in India, you go to Kumbh Mela and they're like, I don't know, you know, everybody start praying and like you hear like billions of different praise and you think, oh, you know, oh, I've seen fire sacrifice. When you go to Kumbh Mela, there's like, you know, five Brahmins from Varanasi and there's like 500 priests under their direction. And they're doing sacrifice with fire every day, you know, with 500 Brahmins. And one, like, you know, they're like old stand. That was very fine. It's like sportsmen. If everyone stayed by Yagya Kunda, and then chief Brahmin say like, sit down. And, like, and he said, mantra start. The mantra starts. Om Swaha, Swaha. There's 500 people at the same time. I'm sure Chinese would love it. Then I said, well, that's what we gotta film it, because, you know, like, you know, we can show it to people from ESKCON or our mod, you know, we're burning fire, three guys, you know, burning fire. But here's like 500 guys, okay? There's like mantra, there's one guy chanting mantra, another one's doing like, you know, all the mystical things. The third one just makes sure everything's okay. And you know, the Brahmins are coming with like wood, and you know, they're like 500 priests and you know 100 assistants. You say, how is possible? Then you understand that was like a normal day in the Vedic society, you know, the king. It would be like, you know, if you read the scriptures, do you understand? King made a sacrifice. He invited, like, you know, every Brahmin from his country. And you know what? He gave to every Brahmin dress, gold. Just imagine, like, opened up treasury, give everything. It's like every Brahmin happy. He give the cows, everything. This is the rules. Distribute the wealth. And finally, the Brahmins, you know, the good thing is about Brahmins, they're always losing the wealth. Because they cursed. So fine, Brahmins after some time become poor again, and king, you know, he takes more wealth in taxes. That's how it works. So by distributing, you're getting more. People don't understand. They think you have to suck and you have to hustle, you have to take. They don't understand. It only works when you give. You have to be giver. Just like I said to Subal, why he can't drive. I said, like, you know, like, Paramananda maybe attracts money. Like Nalina attracts tea. You know, Bhakti Lalita, she attracts some, you know, spiritual things, but he's attract asphalt. You understand? It's not that he falls down, just asphalt jump on him and embrace him. Like. And he does all the time. So even if he's gonna ride like scooter with one leg, you know, he's gonna like asphalt will embrace him. Because that's what he's attract. No, it's truth. You know, it's just some people are meant to be dead and like a car crash. Sorry, not sacrifice. Some people just born to die in a crash. Some people are born to die, you know, rich. Some people die, you know, like. So we have to know. So when Gurudev wants motorcycle, Guru Maharaj told him, you know, start with cycle. Gurudev wants two things, rifle and motorcycle. And Guru Maharaj canceled both. He said, cycle and stick is going to work for you good. So then Gurudev ended up with like wooden stick and cycle. Instead of he envisioned himself You know, as a young boy, he's with the rifle, driving motorcycle. But Guru Maharaj says, cycle and stick is good. So he thought, well, you know, that's what my guru gave me, a cycle and stick. So he's got the cycle. And that was good, actually, because Guru Maharaj could see driving is very dangerous. And he would not want Govind Maharaj to be hurt by anything. So he's specifically cut off this opportunity. But when Mahananda Prabhu came to India, he drove motorcycle all over the India. He like, you remember, Mahananda Prabhu used to get on motorcycle, drive to Kolkata for like 2 hours on like amazingly crazy road. So people don't know that Mahananda Prabhu, he used to be all in all for like, I mean, he's still all in all for us, but now he's Madhusudan Maharaj. But before, he was the man who would greet everybody at the gate of Chaitanya Saraswat Math and take care and do things and manage them. What he did is like an amazing service, and he stayed like 20, I mean, he ate the same Indian food for 20 years. It's fine with him. So anytime you say like, Madhusudan Maharaj, how are you doing? Okay, fine. But he did like, you know, Bengali rice with chili and like salt and lemon. Well, he wouldn't care. He's just such a sold out, like, you know, he's like one of those British officers who colonized the world, you know, like sold out British to the crown, and they go fought for the crown, did everything. He's a, Guru Maharaj called him perfect gentleman. He is actually a perfect gentleman. So, you know, he was very, very much trained in this particular style because he connected with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj told him, you go and serve Govinda Maharaj. He said, like, yes, sir. And he served Govinda Maharaj from day one to day zero. And he's doing it today. So, you know, I called him up a couple of days back and said, how are you doing, Maharaj? Oh, he said, oh, Puruji is here, you know, I'm a... His wife is here, the devotees from the, like, he's doing it in Vrindavan, he's like, he's managing. And I'm thinking, he's very lucky man, lucky soul. Coming with British film crew from Tajikistan and Afghanistan to India first time. And then just, you know, he was an accountant and never thought. And then he's just like got Prabhupada's book, and as he read the book, he's just like, here's my domain. That's where I have to serve. That's where my life is. That's a wonderful life, you know, being converted that easy. So sometimes guru have to preach hard. Sometimes it doesn't have to be like that. Just Jesus Christ, he met some of his disciples. You know, one man was fisherman, like sitting at the pond fishing. And Jesus coming, looking. The guy's like fishing. And you know, everybody who fishes as a child thinks sometimes it's like really cool stuff. But sometimes it's total suck. Like you can spend for years like no fish. So Jesus Christ coming to the guy who's like fishing. He said, like, does that make you feel good? He said, yeah, you know, my wife, like, you know, my wife and home. I really feel peaceful here. Like, I really feel like, you know, that's like very relaxing. I said, yeah, like, I really like to, you know, do this fishing thing. He said, you know, I don't have anything to do. Well, would you have any proposal? And Jesus Christ said, well, how about join me and become my brahmachari, and you know, you become the next guru of the universe. Just imagine if you see the first time in your life someone who will give you such a unique proposal. You know, drop everything you have, drop your fish world, come with me. You know, we'll die together, or like we have the world. It requires some Sukriti, so, you know, this grace with Saint Paul, right? Or Peter. Who was the fisherman? Peter? Oh, no, not Andre. Peter or Paul? Someone was fisherman, one of the very first disciples of Jesus Christ. So it happens like this, but then you will understand why, you know, only 13 disciples he had, so many followers. So that you can understand how from follower I can become substantial disciple. Because when somebody asks Gurudev, they ask, oh, Shri Govinda Maharaj, how many disciples you have? And Gurudev said, no, you know. He said, I gave beads to many. But who is my disciple? That will be seen in time. Gurudev's answer was wonderful. I gave beads to many. And if you can ask me beads, I'll give it to you. But a disciple, there can be never many disciples. You know, Jesus Christ had 13. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, I can name Bhakti Lalita, Krishna Kanta, handful. You know, they're like intimate disciples, they're like good disciples, there's like bad disciples, or they're disciples, formal disciples, or, you know, remote disciples. But Gurudev would not discriminate. He would treat them all equal. They were not equal, but Gurudev would try to, even those who were more far away, try to give them more attention. So when Srila Govinda Maharaj came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he said, well, not to follow your mind and forget everything you know. And see, it's easy for us to forget everything we know because we don't know anything. So for us, it's very, very easy. You know, maybe you've read Book of Rajneesh, or you may have read of some, you know, Buddhist monk book, or, you know, yoga book. You probably have read a few books, but it's easy to forget them because you don't remember them anyway. But Gurudev had quite good memory, you know. Like sometimes he would quote some Panchatantra or some other book by memory, and he would say, I've read this book in a school 40 years ago, or, you know, I've heard this book, like. So, to conclude our lecture tonight, it's require some sukriti, it's require some sincerity, and it's require some, you know, very special way to, it's called sumedasa, to understand what's in your domain, what's in the divine domain, and how you should serve properly. Krishna said, Tadvithi pranipatina pariprashnena sevaya uparikshantiti jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanam pranipat pariprashna seva. Inquiry, dedication, respect, and service. These all three things, you know, will afflict your mind. So you have a very good mind, but mind is very difficult to control, and mind is very tricky. That's why many times Gurudev called me creative crazy. He said, this Maharaj, this crazy, this Maharaj, that crazy. And when they said, what about Avadhut Maharaj? He said, creative crazy. But I'm happy because, you know, many of the crazy ideas I had worked. You know, somebody could say, like, go to Thailand, open up preaching center. You know, it's a crazy idea, you know. We, the old Thai people, don't accept Krishna consciousness. They follow Buddhism. But that's a crazy idea, but I don't think so. I think if we do it right in Thai, if we just do it right, we can have both Western, Indian, and Chinese and Russians, because everybody come here. So once I said to Gurudev, I want to open preaching center in Goa. He said, why? I said, because everybody goes there. Everybody goes there for nonsense. But, you know, we can change the sense if you know how to do it. So when we were thinking about Thailand, my idea was islands, like Koh Phangan. Because I know all kinds of young people go there for islands. Full moon party, drain and drugs. But then I thought, well, islands is good, but you can't work with the internet, you can't produce media, you can't produce films. So then we thought Bangkok, because many, many Indians in Bangkok, it's a great transit station and it's a big city. You can have a huge. But then we thought, well, you know, Bangkok is kind of a good place, but you'll get many trafficants. You know, traffic means somebody's just coming over through India. You become like a base station. That's also not so good because the seriously an army rules. And here's what the army rules. You know, when great samurais would go to, let's say, Korean War, they would go with the vessels, with their ship, and the great commander say, stop, so they would attack and get the ships on the ground. And then he would say, break the vessels. They will say, why? He said, break the vessels because you whether come back as a hero or you not to come back. So it's one of the important rule of war to put your army, it's actually a Chinese book of art, War of Art War, famous Chinese book. And the way this book starts is a famous Chinese general, he talked to empire of Chu Kingdom, I think it was Chu Kingdom. He told him, well, we have a big, huge enemy who can attack and destroy us, but we can destroy that enemy before. And the Chu King said, how can we do it? Our army is like 20,000 men, and their army like 100,000 men. And this Chinese general said, it doesn't really matter how big your army. It matters how well your army trained and how much is dedicated. And he said, I can make anybody as a soldier and train army. And the empire said, yeah, you know, everybody tell this to me. Can you prove it? The general said, yes. He said, you see this Chinese woman? You know, they're serving in the palace. I can make them soldiers. How many you've got? 100? Then the empire said, if you make this 100 women soldiers, I'll make you general for the whole army. How about? He said, deal. So he said, but you have to tell to your ladies that they should clearly follow my command. So the empire called up all the ladies and said, well, from now on, you are under this man's instruction. And this man came and said, ladies, I have a good news for you and bad news for you. The good news, you now you're soldiers of empire, army of empire. The bad news, you follow soldiers' rule, and if you not obey them, well, you die, you're dead. So women wouldn't took him seriously until he chopped two women's heads. After he chopped two heads off, everybody got very serious and very focused, and everybody started training every day. And whoever did bad got beaten by sticks, and this, the kingdom, the palace women, within 3 months, they become hardcore soldiers, killers. So, the time came to test. And the general said, look, we have 300 men who's taken as hostages, soldiers, professional soldiers. I want to show my army to you, my king. Let this 100 women fight against 300 men, or whatever, 200 men, something. And he told to this woman, if you defeat them, you'll be alive. Otherwise, they know if they defeat you, they'll be set free. 100 women killed 200 men. And very few women got killed. Because nobody took them seriously, number one. And number two, this general worked, learned them, trained them how to work together. See, this is important things, is to teach people how to work together. Everybody's in great, like, I've seen many, you know, without criticism, I've seen many good American guys or Australian, like Sadhu Priya, Manu Sukrishna. And I told them, you're great on your own, But army is never one man. You have to be great, learn how to work with others. That's what makes you strong. It's a Chinese system actually as well. So the important part is not only be great on your own. Because if you look at American films, the rainbow guy who's like fighting alone, that's not the real war. Real war is 300. You fight as one. So it's important not only have your individual way of serving, but what Srila Gurudev really would admire, he would admire to see how devotees work together in cooperation. And that's what we should learn. And then we become an army who can, no one can conquer. And that's why, you know, we have here people like Bhakti Lalita, you know, and other senior devotees, because we should learn how to work together on every level. Level of puja, level of kirtan, level of cooking, level of participating in film projects. And then we'll be unconquerable. We'll be very small in numbers, but we'll be very effective. So finally, this general wins the war. He conquered 100,000 man army. And he's become number one. He wrote the book called Art of War in China. This book studied in every American military academy. You know that? It's a very famous book. It only has 10 rules. The whole book of how fight run in 10 rules. So rule number 4, you put your army in a position that it cannot retreat. Die to live. This is Guru Maharaj's slogan. Do you understand? You burn the bridges. You don't have backup plan. If you have backup plan, you're not a soldier. You're gonna run back. You have to understand. You're coming to Krishna consciousness with one-way ticket. There's no ticket back. You may have trouble along the way. Things might change. But it's gotta be one-way ticket. And that's one of the rules of spiritual life. If you think, oh, not gonna do, I'll do next life, you're not gonna last for long. So there are a few rules you learn about spiritual life, and 2 rules Gurudev heard from Guru Maharaj, not to think you're that great, you know so much, forget about that. Second rule is not to so much trust your mind, especially when it comes to spiritual logic. You may trust your mind when you do service, you know, as your mundane qualifications. But when it comes to spiritual thinking, things are not work the same. Things may work opposite. And that's a big trick as well. So it's time to finish my Dandavat Pranam. Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.